Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, I'm delighted to say that joining me for the Thursday interview this week is Davina Devine, the drag queen and performer. Davina, how are you?
I'm really good. Thursday's my day. So
is it?
Yes, it's right. Thursday is my day. So
yes.
6 day Friday. It's smart.
So tell me, how did you or when did you first start performing in drag?
Oh my God. Well, it was like many moons ago. It was 23 years ago and things were very different time. Wasn't very cool. Wasn't very mainstream. And I just did it for a bit of a laugh, really, back in the day. And I never in a million years thought I would have turned it into a career. So
how similar is the Davina Devine of 23 years ago to today?
Not very similar at all.
Okay.
there was a freedom then because everybody kind of looked like Saxon Spuds, you know, the kind of way. There was no YouTube, there was no tutorials, there was barely sets of lashes in this town. So you could kind of, everyone looked a bit rough and ready. And there was quite a freedom in that, like an artistic kind of freedom. But now there's like, I think there's pressure on everybody to look the best. Like you can go out now and you can learn everything you need from YouTube and you can buy everything you need online. So it's very different. You kind of find your feet, you know. It's like being thrown in a swimming pool and not being able to swim.
And before you started performing, I mean, where did the idea come from? Beyond just wanting to have a bit of fun. Like how long was it percolating for?
Well, like, you know, I think I was always a bit of a kind of like tortured, like, you know, performer. Like I always wanted to perform. When I was a kid, like I had crazy experiences in my life. Like I ended up performing with Michael Jackson in the Dangerous Group way back when. I was had a part in like In the Name of the Father. So I was always had these weird kind of big things happen. So I always had this desire to perform. And then you get to an age about 17, you're like, oh my God, it's kind of over. You know, you're not good looking enough to be in a boy band. You can't sing. And so it shouldn't have really happened, but I don't know, it was just, I feel like sometimes you have to look at the signs that are there pointing you right in the face. So yeah, it was destiny, I think.
Why that particular avenue of performance rather than say, okay, as you said, maybe the boy band route wasn't going to work out, but you could have kept acting.
Yeah, I could have, I suppose. And in a weird way, I suppose I kind of do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's true.
And it just kind of landed in my lap, to be honest. Like, it wasn't something I ever thought of, or it wasn't something that was even on my radar. I didn't even really know much about drag. But I loved the idea that you could create something and step into it and there was no rules. And it was all on your terms. So I quite liked that. So it was like kind of getting your dream role, but creating your dream role, you know, that kind of way. So it's all on your terms. It was something I never thought of, never really, it was never kind of like, it wasn't like my ambition to do it, you know? But then when you find your feet, you're like, oh, this, and the thing about drag is drag's been around for like, you know, hundreds of years. I think culturally now it's like you can kind of create what you want, and drag queens nowadays do everything. Like we produce our own shows, we direct our own shows, we star in our own shows, we do our hair, we do our makeup. Like it's like a one man band, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah,
much more than other kind of industries. You know, it's very interesting when you break it down.
And the character, I mean, how much thought goes into the character of Davina, or to what extent is it just a natural thing that comes out?
Well, I think back in the day, it used to just whatever would come out, just like literally just throw something at the wall and whatever stuck, and that was kind of fun. But I think as time progressed, you kind of start thinking, what are your inspirations? What are you kind of, and like, I worked in makeup then for a long time, so I was really inspired by kind of like fashion and, you know, like pop culture and things like that. So, but then you kind of develop a brand, you know, and I even knew kind of then that being able to develop a brand was kind of powerful. And I don't know why I knew that, because I had no experience, but I knew I wanted to be Googleable. I knew that back in the day, and I like that was like back in like the early like internet days. And I didn't want, like, there was all silly names going around, like there was like, you know, Sheila Blige and Gail Force and, you know, silly names, and I wanted something that sounded like a name, like a real person. And I think I grew up in the 80s, and there was all these kind of shows in the 80s about, like, you know, the ability to transform and be the other and have secret powers and have a secret identity, and I quite kind of like the idea of that, you know.
And when you say you wanted to be Googleable, I mean, was that just an ego thing or was it a financial thing?
No, just, I think I just wanted to, if I was going to do something, I wanted to do it well. And I think just long, I think, you know, at this, well, it wasn't like at the very start, but as it was going on, I was thinking, God, you know, well, like the internet was becoming, this before social media, so everyone had websites and things like that. And I remember a couple of people had websites and I was like, what would my website be called? And I remember thinking of it in that context. So I'm glad I did in a way, you know, because now it's like when you do Google me, like, you know, God knows what comes up. But there's a name, you know, and there's a brand, and I'm glad about that.
And so when you say about the secret identity thing, that is true for you.
Yes.
more than others.
Yeah.
Was that a conscious thing from day one?
No, it wasn't.
When did you start thinking about that?
I think when I noticed that, like, Bebo came along and then Facebook came along, and I'm going way back to the Bebo days, like Top 16, all this kind of stuff.
Oh God, yeah.
Just give me your love. And like, I just remember people were sharing so much, and everybody about everything was so accessible, and I just remember thinking, like, people knew everything about everybody, and the celebrities. And I was grew up in a culture of celebrity magazines, and, you know, the stars without their makeup, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it wasn't to empower people. It was like to kind of see behind the mask and kind of almost, I don't know, not belittle it, but to see behind the mask. And I thought there's an illusion in not seeing behind big celebs like Dolly Parton, or, you know, people that are always just Dolly, you know, like,
yes.
Or, like, there's power of a share, you know, it's like, there's always a power in that. And it's like, that's what you get. And nobody wants to see Dolly, you know, without her wig, without her makeup. Like, it's just not exciting, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a buzz to it, you know, an enigma.
When you mentioned those magazines, that particular period as well, they were so toxic, weren't they?
So toxic, yeah. It's like all about like you know, like the heroin chic vibe, and, you know, no makeup. And it wasn't to empower people.
No, it was totally ripping people down all the time, as in, like, oh, the cellulite, like this little square centimetre of it on someone's leg.
We're all human. We all, like, you know, we all look like rough sometimes, and that's the reality. But there's an escapism in presenting, like, you know, a fantasy to people, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age.
Because that, not everything has improved, but that, I think that has slightly improved, has it? Those magazines certainly don't exist
well,
the same. Do you know where it manifests maybe now is the comments.
Yes,
the comment section
don't
is where
read
that magazine,
where
that the magazine is now the comment section, is it?
Totally, and that's to say, don't read the comments, you know? And they're still, I think people want to know more now, more than ever, what's behind the mask, and they want to know how the rabbit comes out of the hat. And that makes me kind of want to pull back more, you know,
be a little bit more like, how protective are you then of?
I'm protective to a point. I'm not going to be leaving here in a blacked out car, do you know what I mean? Like,
no.
It's not like that, but I enjoy the fact that the people have to kind of work a little bit more to find out a little bit more.
Yeah.
A little bit of, like, an air of mystery is always good.
Yeah.
You know?
And the show then as well, how different, as you say, there was none of the YouTube tutorials to help with kind of makeup and design and the choreography of it all. So how different are the shows today then?
Well, the thing I think about this is, like, you know, like, I do my show at the George, I've been doing my show at the George Thursday for the last, like, I've had that residency there for about maybe like 13 years, but I've been working there for about 20. And we're probably the only kind of like category of entertainment that, like, rolls every week. Like, the run doesn't end. You go week on week on week. We do like 50, like, you know, could we do two shows a week? And they're constantly trying to think of new things, constantly trying to do new stuff. So, like, if you're doing a comedy run, you'll end the comedy run and you take a break. There's no break. It just keeps going. But we also have a steady flow of people that come every week, and that's kind of changed over the years. I feel like sometimes, you know, like Rita in Coronation Street, like, I'm working in the cabin and, like, all these people are changing, but I'm still there selling the bonbons. So I feel like it's one of those things. It's like the run never ends, you know?
Yeah.
Until it ends.
So when you say there's new people, you just mean the clientele keeps changing.
Yeah. And
whatever.
Then, of course, new people come in. Like, you know, there's been new performers that come along over the years, and some stick, some don't. And I've seen many come and go, you know? So.
And what have all the ones that stick, what have they got in common?
Do you know what I think it is? I think people connect with you as a person. I think they connect with your personality. I think they genuinely, I think that's for any entertainment. I think it's whether you're a singer or a dancer. I think people connect with the person.
Mm.
And, like, sometimes people can look rough as hell, but people just have an affinity with them. And there's something, I think it's like a human connection. I think that's one thing in this day and age that people, I think, are, like, drawn to. You know, it's like that kind of connection, you know?
So that would suggest that Divina Divine, I mean, the personality, that there's a real, completely contrived.
Not at all. Like, it is me. It's like, I always think it's like the packaging is different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, my opinions are still the same. My thoughts are the same. And like, I couldn't do Divina Divine without me, you know? There's no two ways, you know? It's like, we're two sides of the one coin, you know?
So do people then, I mean, drag, as you say, has been around for centuries in different forms.
Yeah.
Do people graduate out of it, or?
I think what's interesting
now, do people age out of it is what I'm asking,
well, see,
really.
People always say, when are you going to hang up the heels? And I'm like, why do you have to hang up the heels? Like, why? You know, you wouldn't say to a singer, like, when are you going to stop singing? Like, when are you going to stop dancing? It's like, well, as soon as when it's uncomfortable, I'll stop doing it. Because it is uncomfortable. But like, there is no kind of sell-by date on it. And I don't think people should have a sell-by date on whatever they do, you know? Especially something like that. It's like when they want you until they don't want you.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
And to what extent then have you found yourself dragged into culture wars in recent years?
In what context? What do you mean?
Like, say, like the way there was maybe a couple of years ago, wasn't it, around drag queens or drag artists, like reading books in libraries became a big kind of part of the culture wars. And
I feel like sometimes with things like that, it's like, you know, drag is entertainment. It's been there for a long time, and it's been peacefully there and actually just kind of giving people laughs and entertainment for a long time. And I feel like to do like all that kind of stuff was very weaponized and very divisive and very distracting, and actually really unfair, to be honest. Because the thing that people don't understand is, as well, is like that, you know, like I grew up, I'm a gay person, I grew up like as an LGBT child, like nobody influenced me, that didn't happen, like, you know. So there are kids out there,
you didn't go to a library one day and turn gay.
Absolutely not, you know. And I think that's the one thing that people kind of actually just overlook. It's like, don't influence, it's like, you can't influence someone from being who they are. They are, you are who you are, you're born the way you are, and that's fact, whether you like it or not, that is how it is. And I think people, especially kids, need to be given the space to respect other people and find out who they are themselves, you know. So I think I just thought that was very divisive and really unfair, to be honest.
And do you think it's just it was an inevitable little sting in the tail post-marriage referendum and everything, and it'll eventually go away, or do you worry more about it?
I think the, like, that kind of the small minority of people, that loud voice, it can be very impressionable to people. And I think it gives people the kind of the, everyone says, you know, free speech, and like, and yeah, everyone can have their opinion and say, but it's not okay to like hurt people or to be hateful about it. That's the thing. I don't mind anyone having, you don't have to agree with me, but like, I'm not rude to anyone, I don't disrespect anyone, and I kind of expect the same. But I feel like, because of me being a drag queen and because of my business, it's like my opinion is invalid. It's like, anything, if I say anything online, it's like they'll go straight for the jugular. It's like, you know, they'll just insult me, try and discredit me straight away, as opposed to listen to what I have to say.
Yeah.
And that's really, it's like taking away your voice, you know? And like, you know, drag queens were the first ones to throw the bricks at Stonewall. Like, you know, don't take away a drag queen's voice, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. I suspect that's partly why one of the tactics is othering people.
Yeah.
Because once you other them, it's much easier to dehumanize them and say terrible things about them. Much harder to say terrible things about somebody who you can, you know, and you can identify with and have empathy for.
And that's what I see happening all the time. It's like they'll go for the common denominator, and it's just really low hanging fruit. And it's kind of like, actually, my opinion is just as valid as yours. Mm. And yeah, that can be really hurtful. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to get on with my life. I just want to entertain people. I want to have a laugh and enjoy my life. You know, I'm not looking for any drama or any kind of chaos. But these people, I think, seek it out, and they want to be divisive and they want to be disruptive. And yeah, it's always the minorities that they go for first. So,
had you any issues growing up in the 80s as LGBTQ?
Not really, to be honest. No, like I'm from Ringsend, I'm Ringsend Rose, and I never really. I was lucky in that way, you know. And I feel like people generally are very accepting, and I feel like we've come so far in such a long way. But you know, that I do have that fear of kind of regression a little bit and kind of going backwards, just because of this small, loud voice, you know.
Would you feel reluctant in some parts of town at certain times? Mm. Would you be reluctant to hold someone's hand?
I think I've always been like that, but I don't know if that's just my emotional issues. I don't know.
You don't hold hands.
No, I don't really.
You're right.
I'm not.
Hand holders are terrible people, aren't they?
Yeah,
I'm so glad. Yeah. They're terrible people. They walk too slowly.
Yeah.
They take up way too much space.
That's another thing I do with LGBT. I'm just like,
we should get rid of them.
Absolutely.
I agree. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you're with me on my campaign to end hand holding. But like, I guess that was maybe that got a bit silly, but I was asking a serious question about whether how threatened you might feel, yeah, maybe in parts of town.
I think Dublin is just kind of descending a little bit into a little bit of chaos, I think, at the moment. Regardless, I think no matter what community you're from, I think it's just not safe.
Do you see that, say, coming out of the George?
I see it at night time, yeah. Because I've been working in nighttime for nightlife for a long time, and there's definitely more of a guard of presence. There is, I can see that. But what's happening is, I think if people don't feel safe, they won't come into the city centre, which means businesses will be affected, which means it affects everybody. So that's my fear, you know?
Yeah.
So because Dublin was such a great nightlife, and we have such a great sense of humour, and it's a great kind of nightlife camaraderie. So I'd hate to see that bit of our culture slip away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I wonder as well sometimes, though, are we guilty of, and I say we in the media in particular, maybe of bigging up the level of threat?
Yeah.
Do you know, say, I give the example, out and say, we're not far from the George here, and I come out of the lane at the back of our office, and in the last few years, I mean, yeah, there's much more visible drug use and open drug use and people shooting up and everything. But then I turn around the corner and there's a queue of about 100 people to get that bloody pizza slice in Bambino's or whatever it's called. Morning, noon and night.
No carbs for me.
So like I just wonder, it's absolutely true that, because I see it as well, there's been a deterioration. But I think there's people out there listening to this and they think, God, Dublin's a no-go zone.
I think,
and it isn't really.
No, it's not really. And that's the other thing. I think it's like there's so much kind of consumed information that it's like we just see the negative all the time. But there's an awful lot of positive that still is going on. People are opening businesses and trying to make a change. And that's still very much there. So you can't knock that either. But it just could be better.
How often, when you meet people for the first time, or people maybe who haven't seen the performance, have never been to a drag performance, is their view of drag just based on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Sometimes, yeah, I think RuPaul's Drag Race has done wonders, I think, because it's brought people like out and given kind of some opportunities. Like, we used to do a couple of brunches and stuff, and people would say, oh, you know, but it's also very Americanized. It's a very American way of kind of drag, of doing drag. And I just think Irish do everything a bit better, you know. I just think us Irish, we just have a good sense of humour, and I don't know, it's done good and bad.
I do want to up age you now, right?
Okay, go on.
But having been in it for 23 years, have you met anyone who maybe saw you as a kind of a shy teenager, late teen, and credits maybe Davina Devine with bringing them out of their shell?
Like Andrew Fitzsimons, who does the Kardashians here, he told me one time that he used to like go past the bus, like his number 16 bus, he'd go past the George and he'd hear Christina Aguilera blast it, and he knew that it was me on stage, and he wasn't out at the time, so he was like kind of like scurrying past the George but like glued looking in to see. And when you hear things like that and how big, like you don't realise the impact that you can have on people, you know, and that's what I feel like. The activism, in a weird way, is actually just being yourself and just hanging around, you know. Like, visibility is everything, and of course, entertainment make people laugh, and you know.
Well, if you're scurrying past the George tonight, it's a Thursday, and you hear Christina Aguilera.
Get
in there, get in there. Davina, it's been a real pleasure.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Davina Devine.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range,
weekdays from 4:00. On News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.